This is Dare to Be Authentic Talk Radio Worldwide with relationship coach, life coach, and author Mari Mitchell, broadcasting live from Southern California.
Welcome to Dare to Be Authentic Radio. Thank you for being here with us today. We're going to have a great show. I have a special guest today. And before I introduce him, I just want to make a quick announcement about the newest project I'm working on. It's my fifth Dare to Be Authentic book, going to be called Dare to Be Authentic, Let Yourself Prosper. This book is about prosperity in all areas of your life. So if you have a story to tell about authenticity and how that's brought you prosperity, give me a call at 954-243-7297 or visit my website, lifecoachmari.com. That's lifecoachmari.com. And today we have a very special guest with us. His name is Chaz Van Heiden. He's a full-time author, former chauffeur, and race car driver. His newest book, The Careless Driver, addresses his observations, conclusions, and recommendations for a much safer, less stressful driving environment with fewer fatalities. Welcome to the show, Chaz. It's so good to have you today.
Yes, likewise, Mari. I'm very happy to be a part of the show.
Wonderful. So we had a quite lengthy talk about this before I decided that you had to be on my show. So tell us what your experience was on the roads as a former chauffeur.
Well, I wasn't just a chauffeur here in the state of Tennessee, in the Nashville area. I had also driven what's known as a shuttle bus or an airport shuttle for some time in California. Mm-hmm. And people who have been to California around Los Angeles know how terrible the traffic is there. All in all, about 4.5 years chauffeuring people.
Okay, good. And so this experience led you to some very good observations. And what made you decide that it was necessary for you to write a book to bring this to awareness?
Well, yeah, I'm glad you asked, Mari, because there were several facets or several reasons that I went ahead and wrote the book. One was I was seeing repeated errors and misjudgment by drivers around me constantly, and it was wearing on me, you know, to the point where I thought I might just stop driving as a chauffeur altogether. And getting input from my brother, who's an 18-wheeler, CDL driver, I was seeing that potentially I could be involved in a very critical collision myself and be injured or killed. So I opted out to go full-time as an author and drop the chauffeuring. The other thing I thought was, my God, some of these drivers, they really need to be skilled better, and they need to be helped. And they need some help. So let's write a book. I mean, I can write. I can communicate. Mm-hmm. So let's put it into a book form, put it out, and cross my fingers, hope that people like it and begin to read it. And it's gotten some five-star reviews on Amazon. It's available through Barnes & Noble and Kindle form now as well. So there you go.
Fantastic. Well, that's great. Congratulations. What makes you so passionate about this mission? Because I know that you have a deep passion for it, Chaz.
Well, after I saw for about a year, a couple of years ago, but for about a year, I saw this going on, these repeated errors and near collisions and collisions and, you know, injuries and reports of dire consequences on our roadways. I thought, what's going on nationally? I think I want to find out what the current state of driving is. We need to do some kind of survey. So I decided to conduct it live inside the automobile I was driving, the vehicle, with my passenger riders, you know, chauffeured individuals. It turned out to be the best thing I could possibly do, because I found out things I had no idea existed in this realm. And I was surprised, and that's actually in the first three chapters. I mentioned a couple of these items. If I could just mention one right now.
Go ahead.
I was talking to a fellow who has Japanese friends, people from Japan, and he was telling me to get a license in Japan, it costs between $2,500 and $3,000 just to get a license in Japan. And American licenses are not accepted in Japan. You have to get a Japanese license if you're there for over a year, or you put in jail. And I thought, wow, that's pretty stringent. And then I looked at the statistics, and Japan's fatality rate per capita per driver is 1/2 of the United States. Ah, I go, that makes sense. So there's a connection between skill demanded of people applying for licenses or renewals and the amount of carnage on our roads. And I would like to also indicate to our listeners that 37,000 deaths occur because of vehicle collisions each year in the U.S., just in the U.S.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's pretty staggering. And so I love that part about Japan. So because they instruct, they educate, they give tremendous education to their drivers so that there's a lot more safety on the road. And so it's a proactive it's a proactive situation, which we don't do here right now, at least not yet. I mean, I took driver's ed way back when I was, 16? And it was pretty good back then. I mean, I still remember. For some reason, I still remember many of the things they taught me. It just was ingrained in my brain. But that's fascinating details. So tell us a little bit more about your book. Tell us, you know, some of the great points that you have in it.
Well, there's a funny story from a fellow in Kentucky who, during his driver's education, there were four students and one instructor, and they would go out for about an hour or two, and the instructor would take them on a roadway to Kentucky because that's where he could buy lottery tickets. And so the instructor, during the whole time that this hands-on driving instruction was going on, had his face in the newspaper, reading the newspaper about the lottery. And what I thought was hilarious was this particular kid was the only one he trusted to do that with. So any of the other three kids in the back, when they, it was their turn, he put the paper away.
Very interesting.
But I think it correlates to the fact that even with instructors at the high school level, there's a there's a gap there in understanding that it has to be very, very thorough training. You can't be slipshod.
Right. Absolutely.
Yeah. And that's one story in the book.
And okay, very good. So then you have a huge mission. What is the main message that you have for the public and even for public officials in your book? I know that you have a big message there.
Well, it's in the book. It actually is one of the conclusions. I'll read it from the book if it's okay with you.
Yeah,
and
sure.
What we have here says, if we as a nation were to adopt a standard of driving training, much like Mr. Pittner offers, with a minimum of 30 hours of professional driver training with more rigorous testing before granting license, we would see in a short period of time a dwindling of accidents and resulting carnage and wreckage we have become inured of over the years. That is the hope and future look of this work.
Okay.
And by the way, the word inured means to become accustomed to something distressful or unpleasant. That's what inured means.
Right, exactly. And being exposed to something over and over again, you kind of lose the shock of it. It kind of becomes ho-hum, which is not a good thing when it comes to this kind of subject.
I think you read the first few, maybe you read the preface or at least the first few chapters that I sent to you yesterday in the book.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and basically in the preface, it just very simply states that, we as a nation have sunk into a complacency about the deaths or amount of deaths on our roadways annually, while many of our states do not demand a level of skill necessary to keep people from getting into collisions, accidents, crashes, and so forth.
Okay, very good. So people talk constantly about the distracted driver, and we discussed this a little bit. How did you touch on that point? Because that's a huge, of course, we didn't used to have cell phones, but it could be looking at anything. You'd be changing the radio station. Talk a little bit about that and how that plays a role.
Sure. It's not just someone who's on a cell phone. And by the way, there's proper use of a cell phone. For instance, I have my cell phone in a dock on the left side of my windshield, so my eyes are never off the road when I press a button talking to it, you see?
Right.
A lot of young folks, they keep it down next to them on the seat, or they have it in their lap. That's not going to work because their attention is now not on the road, even if it's for a split second. And there's actually commercials out, which one of the websites called it's Joel Feldman's website, where he talks about, you know, he has a video about, you know, cell phone users, and it's the misuse of the cell phone. There's a lot of people who do not have Bluetooth, and they put the phone in their lap or on the seat. People with Bluetooth, of course, know they can have both hands on the wheel, and they can just talk straight ahead. And that's what I do when I'm, you know, when I'm in that type of car. But let me just give you a little rundown on some of the other things that cause distraction that are not related to cell phones. For instance, in Maryland, if you've had, let's say, a sleep apnea condition, or you've had a condition that causes weakness, shaking, or numbness in the arms, hands, legs, or feet that may affect your ability to drive, you don't get a license. Here's a scenario. A person hasn't slept well. They get in the car. I got to go to work. I'm late. That's a recipe for a collision, an injury, and death. It's the same as if he or she had gone to a bar and had a few drinks. Their awareness is low, and their response speed or reflex action is diminished. And you can't drive a lethal a vehicle, a truck, a pickup, which is a lethal weapon in the hands of someone who isn't 100% there. You have to be 100% there. This is like a gun loaded.
Yes, absolutely.
Okay.
Very good.
So you asked me a question. I didn't fully answer it, which was, why am I so passionate about this?
Mm-hmm.
Well, because so many accidents and deaths could be avoided that are unnecessary. Now, there's going to be still people who misestimate. In the rain, they misestimate going around a curb too fast. They misestimate braking too hard, and they slide into something, a tree, and they kill themselves or people in the car. That's going to happen. I'm not saying we're going to get rid of all fatalities. I'm saying let's drastically do something to reduce the fatalities. Got it?
Now, that makes sense. Yeah, they're never going to get, because accidents or whatever happens, things happen.
Yeah, there are such things as accidents. Yeah.
Yes.
It comes from misestimation of an effort. Yeah, that's all it is. And what we want to take out of the equation is people who are not 100% there driving to and fro willy-nilly on interstates and streets and turning into people and killing them on the streets dead because they didn't see them. Why didn't they see them? Did the judge ask after the guy says, I didn't see the person? Did the judge then penetrate and go, well, what did you see? You know, what were you looking at, if not the road and pedestrians?
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Yeah. That's why I'm passionate.
What were they looking at? And what was the attention put on? And where was the awareness? And we're going to come right back. We're going to take a quick break, and we're going to take it from there. If you want to call in and ask Chaz a question, our number is 929-477-3869. That's 929-477-3869. You can start calling now, and we'll be right back.
Hello. Do you have more months than money at the end of the month? Do you want to have more control of your finances so you can get out of bad debt and build wealth? My name is Karen Ford, and I help people demolish debt, budget, invest, and build wealth. My book, Money Matters, is found on Amazon or on my website, KarenFord.org.
Are you a diva struggling with stress from your career or juggling the responsibilities of everyday life? You're invited to Renew Your Life Now. Join Lynn Owens in a transformational program and take your life back. Restore balance, boundaries, and nurturing into your life now. Go to allowspacenow.com and click on the Start Here tab or email Lynn at allowspacenow.com. That's Lynn at allowspacenow.com.
An American Story. My Family and Yours is a book written by Dr. Mamie Smith that supports the idea that spirituality is the foundation to freeing mankind of human beliefs. You will find this book on booklocker.com and amazon.com. An American Story. My Family and Yours.
Hi, and welcome back to Dare to Be Authentic Radio. I'm your host, Molly Mitchell, and our guest today is Chaz Van Heiden, who's written a book called The Careless Driver. He has a passionate mission to drop the death rate on our highways, on our freeways, as we call them out here in California. So, Chaz, we were talking about awareness, about not paying attention on the road. Awareness is something that I talk a lot about with my clients, even as a coach. Awareness in every area of our lives. We are somewhere else, daydreaming, thinking about the past, thinking about the party coming up, right? What we're going to make for dinner. So what can be done to bring this awareness as a driver to exactly what you're doing? You know, what you're doing in the vehicle. What can we do as drivers to bring that awareness and get out of the dream state?
Well, when I get in the car and start the engine, I quickly do like a checklist. I look around the car to see if there's anything in the car that's going to drag my attention away. But I also kind of look at my physical condition. If I have a cold, in other words, I'm sniffling, I'm coughing, I think twice about going on a long distance, more than a couple of miles. If I have to get to the store or if you're at the post office, I'll do that. That is relatively safe, but if I'm going to go anything longer than 5 or 10 miles, I can easily be fatigued and get into a situation where I become a careless driver. So it's awareness of one's physical condition and one's immediate environment that you're going to be driving in. Also, a lot of people do this automatically, even when they're 100% there. They see it snowing out, and they don't want to drive in the snow or the ice, so they don't. And it's brilliant, you know. They don't have to. They take care of that by either calling into their offices or into their workplace, and they say, you know, it's just too treacherous for me to attempt going from here to there. I would rather either lose the pay or if they have to, or get a cut in pay and possibly save their life or life of another. That's what I would suggest in all cases. When either the weather is so inclement or a person feels physically down for any reason, much like the Maryland test here, the medical and mental test here talks about sleep apnea and so forth. It's just just an awareness of one's physical condition and mental condition. And if you've had an argument, don't even start the engine, please. You know, if you had a spousal argument, a conflict, or between parent and daughter, son, or brother and sister, the familial ones are the worst, you know, because they last so much longer. They last throughout the day, sometimes several days. You can't drive when you're fomenting and cogitating on, well, did I do something wrong or didn't I do something wrong? That's not going to cut it, okay?
That's interesting. I've never heard anybody talk like this, say, don't drive if you're sick. You know, if you have a cold, you're not even saying if I have fever. Don't drive if you just had an argument. When you said that, Chaz, it reminded me, when I was a teenager, my parents, cousins of my mother had really dear friends that lived upstairs. They had one of those two-family homes. And their son probably was in his early 20s, and he had a huge argument with his girlfriend, huge. They broke up, I guess, and he took off, and he actually drove into a tree, and he was killed. And that always struck with me. That always struck with me because I was so young. I wasn't even of driving age. I probably was like 12. I don't know how old I was, 10 or 12. And that stayed with me. When you talked about that just now, that reminded me. And it's like we have to almost examine ourselves before we get behind that wheel. Not something that we're used to doing. Not something that people ever told us to do, right? This is all new material, Jazz.
Yeah. Well, this is what an instructor would be forced to train anybody who's getting a license, to be in present time when you're in the car and the engine is running. When the engine's not running, your stop doesn't really matter. Text all you want, fool around all you want. But as soon as that engine's on, the car becomes a lethal weapon. And the instructor will be very kind and very understanding in getting this across to our incumbent new drivers. Also, traffic courts, hopefully when enough lawmakers read this book and, you know, ding dong, the light goes on, instead of sending people to traffic school where they learn basically how to reduce the number of points so they don't have their insurance go up, they will go to a traffic training academy, a driver's academy, where they will be driven by an instructor and they will be taught properly with understanding what they did incorrectly, and they will do it correctly after the instructor shows them what they should have done. And they will not pass, and they will also pay for that instruction. Now, in the book, a couple of different places, I say, what would happen if we took only a fraction of the billions of dollars that we spend on hospitalization and auto insurance and just earmarked it for academy training, you know, real skill level training with professional instructors? That's something I'm also passionate about, because that's going to be, in the end, a real solution. A very famous educator made this very wise observation that in today's modern society, the modern egg beater and automobile need some training, need some education of a skilled level. Otherwise, you wind up with cut fingers and, you know, bodies lying on the interstate.
Wow. So everything is preventive. You're talking about preventive, and I love that. And that's what I want to do on my show, because it's such an authentic idea. You are coming from your heart with something that you're passionate about and is dear to you, and you're trying to make a change all over the U.S., and I think that's wonderful. I'm just very awed by that. So let's go into a more...
Can I give you a fact that can be researched on the Internet? Airline pilots are amongst the most able individuals, otherwise we wouldn't fly with them, right?
Right.
And they're airline jet pilots. Some of them have been in the Air Force. Some of them have learned elsewhere. Guess what the percentage of pilot error is for fatal crashes of airplanes? Take a wild guess.
50%? I have no idea. I'm just throwing that out.
80% on one survey. 50-80 on another. So you were close. Now, if pilots who are super trained, and who do, and get this, do they do 5,000 checklist items before they take off in a jet airliner, commercial jet airliner, and that can be fact-checked also.
Right.
If they have an 80% rate of pilot error, what would prevent us from training our drivers of cars better in light of that information? Think about it.
Okay. Yeah.
As pilots, these are pilots that are trained for years, and they still make errors and kill people themselves sometimes also.
Right, and they have to log thousands of air miles, you know, before they even begin to pilot that plane.
That's correct, before they're even granted a license. That's true. Yeah.
Correct, yeah. Okay, good. Well, we have not too much time left, a little over 5 minutes. Let's talk about people who are not just being careless, but let's talk about DUI drivers just for a few minutes, because that's a serious.
Let's talk briefly now. All right. In one of the chapters of the book, I mentioned that we're not going to handle the DUI drivers because their inclination it borders on criminality. So that's actually going to come out in the next edition, which is hopefully before Christmas, and in the third edition, which is going to be spring of next year. I'm going to have a disc with the recorded 26 interviews so people can actually listen to what they read in the book. Okay? It's going to be an audio version. So, but the DUI driver is a careless driver, but in the extreme. Okay? And let me, if you will, let me read from the next book, one of the chapters on the DUI driver, because I want to be faithful to the next book's edition. So maybe you can ask me another question while I get this information up on the screen here.
Okay. Well, while you're doing that, tell the listener where they can get a hold of your book. Let's not forget to do that.
Okay. Of course, my website is Chaz Van Heiden, H-E-Y-D-E-N, all one word, books, all one word, .com. And Facebook, Chaz with a period after it. I just checked it out to see why there's a period. It doesn't belong there, but there's a Chaz, C-H-A-Z, with a period, Van Heiden. Or look me up when you're on your page. And then there's the new funding page, which we're doing pretty good with. I noticed there's a couple other fundraisers out with a little less money than mine. I've only been doing it for about 3 weeks. And that is, you go to GoFundMe.com, and in the search box, find the search box and look up Reduce Roadway Fatalities. Or if you're computer savvy, just go to GoFundMe.com/reduce-roadway-fatalities, and that'll bring up the exact campaign.
Okay, great. Very good.
Yeah.
And you can also find Chaz on my radio show page, lifecoachmari.com, lifecoachmari.com. Just hit radio show, and he'll pop there with his pictures there, his name, and you can click right into his books.
Okay, here's the chapter on DUI. This is verbatim. The way it's going to happen, the particulars have to be part of the case in front of the judge. If it is not, when the DUI driver gets to the training academy, the instructor goes over this whole scenario, finds out what the driver was doing before they drove off and got into a crash or were arrested for a DUI. Find out the particulars and replicate the scenario. For example, if the DUI driver was at a party and they were stumbling out of the front door looking for their keys, the instructor does the same thing. Instead of getting in the car, he calls to a friend, quote, "Would someone please drive me home?" Or, quote, "Would you call an Uber or Lyft for me?" Then have the offending DUI driver act out the same scenario with sincerity, motion for motion, word for word, or almost verbatim. Instructed without critical remarks or demeaning looks by the instructor. The scenario could be altered if there is more than one DUI conviction and drilled until the DUI student can do it with a straight face calmly. It's role-playing to accustom a driver who has made a serious blunder to automatically choose the pro-survival method of getting home. This training is done with a sober, supportive attitude if it is to succeed. The DUI driver must act with sincerity or he is not passed by the instructor. Any emotional flashback or joke or degrader comments by the DUI driver is met with a "do it as demonstrated." There is no reasoning with the recalcitrant student because they are below understanding until they can replicate the correct method. Then they are in a position to understand why it is the correct way and why it should be done that way. It may take, in some cases, several guided run-throughs of one scenario and or combination of run-throughs if the DUI student has been convicted of multiple DUI violations. I have got a little bit more, but when that edition comes out, people can read it. There's some more things about the attitude of the student driver and about the DUI instructor, the instructor who instructs them. But that's in the second edition.
Excellent.
But that's the core of what we're going to expect from academy, driving academy instructors and owners.
Fantastic, Chaz. We're just about out of time. Thank you so much for joining me on Dare to Be Authentic. And thank you to the listener who make this show a success. And be with us again at Dare to Be Authentic. See you soon.
My pleasure.
This is Dare to Be Authentic Talk Radio Worldwide with relationship coach, life coach, and author Mari Mitchell, broadcasting live from Southern California.
Hi, it's Jamie, Progressive number one, number two employee. Leave a message at the...
Hey, Jamie. It's me, Jamie. This is your daily pep talk. I know it's been rough going ever since people found out about your a cappella group, Mad Harmony, but you will bounce back. I mean, you're the guy always helping people find coverage options with the Name Your Price tool. It should be you giving me the pep talk. Now get out there, hit that high note, and take Mad Harmony all the way to nationals this year! Sorry, it's pitchy.
Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.